Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 12, we know this verse. For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God sees everything. He knows everything. He understands the motivations of your heart. So no use trying to hide anything. Amen? But this is the Word of God is alive and powerful. Tonight I want to talk about our relationship with the Word and having a hunger for the Word of God. Because we still, as even the end time church, do not fully comprehend the power and life that's in the Word. Amen? The truth is, your Bible of itself has no power. Do you follow me? I mean, you can't even pound in a nail with your Bible. Right? You cut the verses out, you can lay them all over the place. Those words do not produce anything out of your Bible until they're sown into good soil. Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, and he said, and the seed is the word of God. The power and the life of that word does not become released until it's sown into the soil of your heart. That power, life, or design, when it comes in contact with you and you believe the word, are you following me? And you act on that word you believe, then power and life are released. See, just because you read the Bible every day, talking about a normal person, they can read the Bible every day and their life will see no additional power. Amen. No additional blessing just because they read the Bible every day. The life and the power that are in the Word are not released until somebody believes it, they receive it, they believe it, and they act on it. Then life and power are released. But the life and the power that you want to operate in, did you follow me on that statement? In other words, it's our believing in the Word that releases power. It's our acting on the Word that releases power, that accesses the life God wants us to have, not just because we have a Bible. There are theologians who have their house full of Bibles. They're living under the curse. Can quote front to back the Bible, living under the curse. Amen. Have wrote commentaries on the Bible and aren't even born again. It's a believing the Word that releases life and power to you. But the level of life and power you want to operate in is limited by how much Word you will take in. Amen. You know, when I was a kid, we loved to blow things up. I mean, we loved to blow things up. And, you know, we started off with, when we were probably 5 years old, my parents would give us lady fingers for, you know, 4th of July. You know what lady fingers are? They were tiny firecrackers. So they wouldn't have you sting your fingers, but you wouldn't lose any of them. And then we graduated to bigger firecrackers, you know, and then to black cats, then to cherry bombs and M80s. Amen. And potentially made some of our own explosives, you know, here and there, based on different things. But we found out we could group firecrackers together and really blow things apart. You know, one firecracker might go pop, but a group of them, you could have some fun. Amen. And so we blew up everything we could with fireworks. We lived in Tennessee. They were already illegal, but yet I had somebody that was smuggling in real M80s from Mexico, flying them in. And I had cases of M80s. We blew up fish, mailboxes, I didn't say what I did right. I wasn't born again. Paint cans. Dropped them down squirrel holes to blow the squirrels out of the tree so we could shoot them. It wasn't good because it probably killed them in the hole, a lot of them, but, you know. Teenage redneck, right? And so the more explosive power you had, the more damage you could do, the more fun you could have. And I want to liken that to the Word of God. The more of God you'll bring in, the more power is potentially within you. You know, when a long-distance runner is going to run a long marathon or something like, well, marathon by definition would be long, right? They're going to load up their carbs. You know, day before, tour before, they can eat all the spaghetti they can hold, all the bread they can hold. They're loading up carbs to have fuel so when they run the race, that energy is available. Well, you've been called to run a major race with God. And your fuel is the Word. And you cannot run further or longer than you've taken in Word to sustain your journey. And we as revivalists have got to fall in love with the Word of God. Recognize we have no life, no power available to us outside a relationship with that Word. That you value the Word as much as you value your other daily meals. I mean, some of us, I'm going to say us, so nobody feels like I'm condemning, would absolutely almost have a meltdown if I said, okay, let's all fast tomorrow, nobody eat tomorrow. I can't go a day without food. No food? But yet we might go days without Word. And then talk about how we want to move in the power of God and see God answer our prayers. Word becomes your connection to God's power. Amen. The Word of God are your spiritual calories. In the Word is every vitamin you need, every mineral you need. All the fuel content you need is in that Word. Amen. And our assignment for God is to get in the Word, read it, and personalize it. I did a message back at the Word Rally. I taught it here as well about an encounter I had with God where He visited me one night. In fact, I've got it written down here. What was the date? July 15th, 2014. God visited me last year. And He started talking about our relationship with the Word and that we've got to be people that fall in love with the Word. He started showing me the difference between revivalist relationship with the Word and religious people's relationship. Religious people read the Word because they have to, or to get a lesson, or to learn something about the Bible. Revivalists read the Word for life. It's your connection to God. Amen. You don't read the Word because you have to. You read it because you know you need to. And you want to. Amen? And you love and embrace the Word. Religious people read the Word in third person. Revivalists read the Word in first person. Every story I read in the Bible, I put myself right in the middle of it. You know, we read the verse starting out tonight. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I like to read the Word and say, what would I do in this situation? Amen. With what I know and the Word I understand now, what would I have done in that situation or what would I do now? And make sure I'm advancing in a fashion that I'm willing to follow what the Word's laying out as far as the way to live. And so we are called to live on a diet of the Word of God. Prayer and the Word. And of course, church, because that unveils the Word to you. It's one step of it, right? All work to take us into God's purpose and plan for our lives. But we can't run the race because repeatedly Jesus says, run the race set before you. We can't run the race beyond our level of Word loading. We mentioned this Sunday morning, our message Sunday morning about renewing the mind. Remember our circles of the three heavens? And we talked about when you renew your mind by the word, it opens a portal in your thinking that you can see and comprehend and expect spiritual power to flow into your life. What happens? Word opened up that mindset. Word allowed you to make a faith connection. Word allowed you to speak in alignment with the will of God and bring God's power and promise into your life. Amen. And none of that's possible without word. There are flaky people running all over the place talking about how God's showing them this and God's doing that and God's blessing them here. And yet, there's no connection to the word where they're doing it by faith. They're living in this fantasy floating lifestyle. Floaters in the kingdom of God. Doing whatever seems normal or natural or reasonable to them versus having their understanding totally reoriented by what the word says they can access by faith. Do you follow me on this? And again, when I was in Africa last week, I started on this lesson. I thought I was going to teach it there, but I never did get to it. And what happened is I'm always reading through the Bible in different places. Like right now, I'm reading through the book of Acts. I just finished Luke and John, and I'm reading through the Psalms. I'm always reading through the Psalms and Proverbs. And I just finished, before I went to Ghana, finished Psalm 118. Well, the next Psalm is the big one, Psalm 119. And I was about to teach this lesson to them on connected from the heart, and I did teach part of it. And I got to Psalm 119, and I'm telling it was by the power of God, the thing just opened up and showed me that's the chapter God wrote about being connected from the heart. Now, David was known as a man after God's own heart. David wrote Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And the entire book, for the most part, is about being in love with the Word of God. This heart for the Word. And what I want to do tonight is go to Psalm 119. We're not going to read the whole thing. But I've picked several verses that highlight what I'm saying that I want just to go through tonight. And my desire is, this is not some deep in-depth, you know, some in-depth teaching. This is just, I'm wanting God tonight to connect you to the Word of God, like David had that connection to the Word. Amen? That he was after God's heart. If you're after God's heart, you're after His Word. Because the Word is the spiritual DNA of God's heart. If you want to know the heart of God, know the Word. Now, before we go there, go over to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And let's go to verse number 7. And God really here is contrasting rebellious people with, he's talking to Ezekiel about taking the word to the rebellious people of Israel. Amen? He says in verse 7, "Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." Say rebellious. You know what it means to be rebellious? You won't receive the word. Amen. "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." Open your mouth and eat what I give you. You know, kids today are raised different than they were when I was a kid. When I was a kid, if supper was on the table, lunch, whatever, you ate it. And if you didn't eat it, you went hungry. You know, I can remember, you know, my brothers and sisters saying, "I don't like that." There was nothing ever hit the table I didn't like. I liked it all. Amen. But I and my brothers and sisters didn't like certain things. And they'd say, well, you can eat it or go hungry. Of course, I think I'll eat it. But now, it's like, what do you want? Oh, I want this. And you got to go to 12 different fast food restaurants to get what everybody wants. My goodness, we'd have done anything just to go to the fast food restaurant, period, much less have your choice. And now everybody's picky about what they get, right? And God says, open your mouth and eat what I give you. That's kind of like how I grew up. You just open up, you eat what is put on the table. I was going to make this a Facebook post here recently. When I was in Ghana, there's no television stations that I care to watch. You know, just nothing that lines up with. It's all either local politics or religious programming or something like that. Half of it's in languages I don't understand. Occasionally a Japanese karate movie comes on. So I took my little portable DVD player. I've got a little portable one we bought years ago for the kids to take trips. And I hunted and I took it with me. And a few years back, I think it was Pastor Bob bought me. I'd mentioned something about how it looked interesting to me. He gave me a gift of a DVD set of 600 old cartoons. No, I have that too. 600 cartoons. And these are old cartoons. I mean, the newest ones are from the 50s. Most of these are going back in the early 30s, you know, the Terry Toons and all that stuff, and Merry Melodies. You remember the Merry Melodies? My goodness, they were torturous. But I'd get late at night, and I think, you know, I need to go to sleep, and I wasn't quite tired. I'd just watch some cartoons. So I put some cartoons in. And it started off, the first DVD was Popeye cartoons. And I may be the only kid that you've ever known that really ate spinach because Popeye did. I ate spinach. As a kid, I'd go start, Mom, get the canned spinach. She's going, you don't like the, I love canned spinach. Oh, yeah. And it's because Popeye ate it. I was going to eat canned spinach. It works, see? Because I'd eat whatever I could eat. Are you following me? It didn't matter to me. And so we ate healthy because that was what we put on the table. And now we've got in the church people eating whatever they want to eat. Whatever tickles their ears. Whatever agrees with their lifestyle they want to live. Or their doctrines they want to align to. And God says, I need you to eat what I put in your mouth. In other words, you open up and you eat what's set before you. That's why I make sure I'm always reading the entire Bible. Now I'll read topically. I'll do studies on words, studies on topics. That usually when I preach, I'm doing topical type studies. But when I'm doing my personal reading time, it's almost always the entire Bible in context. Because I want to make sure that I consume the entire meal versus my favorite foods, right? When I was a kid, if you'd have gave me my choice what to eat, it would have been root beer and ice cream all the time. Or the two combined, that didn't matter. I'd have lived on root beer and ice cream. Throw in some donuts, I'd have been set. You know, Coca-Cola was fine, but root beer was the epitome of a soft drink. And how many know that it would have been very poor for me to do that? Unhealthy. So I had to have a parent say, no, here's what you will eat. You can have these treats on occasion, but here's what you'll eat. But in the house of God now, it's filled with people that are never made to eat healthy. They were never made to eat what was put on the table. So now when they get into church, it's like, okay, I'm going to choose my own diet of the word. And here's my favorite word, desserts. Let's ignore the rest. You know, a lot of the church now is buying into hypergrace. We're telling them, don't read the red. You don't get any healthier than the red. Amen. You have to read the red. Read it all. And be willing if it applies in any fashion to your life, because you're reading it in first person. You're going to apply it. You're going to make the changes necessary. Versus, well, I don't like that verse. You know, so many people now have the loose leaf Bible. Just throw out the pages you don't like. And so he says, verse 9, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. Lo, a roll of a book was therein, a scroll. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. Now understand, we're talking about the Word of God. He said it was written within and without. I'm telling you what, when you get to reading the Word, it's going to speak to you from every direction. It's going to speak to you outwardly. It's going to speak to you inwardly. And it's of infinite capacity. So this is a special scroll he's told that he's handed. Chapter 3. Oh, no. Let me back up. Let me finish that verse. It was written within, without, and look at this. There was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Now, first of all, understand, God's going to have Ezekiel eat this roll. We'll get there in a minute. But the purpose of him eating this roll was to speak a word unto the rebellious house of Israel. So God's going to have him speak lamentations and woe to Israel because of their rebellion. Amen. And understand, lamentations or woe were in the Scripture. Blessings for those that follow God, curses for those who rebel against God. And whether you said, Jesus be my Lord or not, there's a price to rebellion. And so I'm telling you, we're entering into a season that woe, and what was the other word? Lamentations and mourning and woe are about to be released in a whole lot of church activities that are saying to themselves, we don't believe God even sees our sin. That are in rebellion saying, we can do what we want to do. We can flow as we want to flow. Amen. Here's our favorite meals. God said, you don't understand. You've been skipping part of your dietary regimen. You rebelled against part of the word. And because you haven't eaten what I've assigned you to eat, here's another meal you're going to partake of. Lamentation, mourning, and woe. I believe we're going to see very soon in much of the church, so-called church, upheaval, unrest, and much collapse. Because for God to bring forth the pure, there will be a collapse in the impure. Do you follow me on this? He says, chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. In other words, get it down inside of you. Don't just chew it, swallow and get it down within inside of you. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now wait a minute. God told him the scroll was full of lamentation, mourning, and woe. But Ezekiel says to me it was sweetness. What produces one man's curse or one church's curse will bring another church into blessing. When I read the Word, because I'm submitted to the Word, it's all sweet to me. Because the parts that are sour don't apply to me. Unless I rebel against the sweet parts. Really any of it, right? And so, God is raising up a generation right now that the Word is sweet to. And I like honey. Amen. If it doesn't get hot sauce, it gets either whipped cream or honey. Amen. I like honey. And Alma likes honey. She goes through some honey now. And God is raising up a people in the end times in love with the full word of God. Amen? That want it all. I don't want to read just the parts I understand. I want to read it all and pray for understanding for the rest. I want to read the parts that convict me, that draw me deeper, that let me know where I've been operating by the flesh. Because I want to make sure when I go before God, I've done everything I can to align my life with His will. Amen. And then He says, and He said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto thee, for them they will dabra sotosi. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And he goes on. Here's what I want you to see in this. God says to Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to foreigners. I'm sending you to my people. I'm not sending you to Gentiles, which would be people that didn't have a covenant. I'm sending you to Israel, who has a covenant. When God makes a separation like this within the house of Israel, He's referring to revival versus religion. And God says in the religious grouping of people that would be my people, there are people that have hardened their heart, their forehead against my word, and I can't penetrate them with truth. Let them know they're going into captivity. We read the rest of Ezekiel. And I believe Ezekiel's giving to us a spiritual principle that doesn't just apply to the Jewish people. It applies to the church as well. To people that harden their heart to the full counsel of the Word of God. That harden their hearing to everything the Spirit of God says. Or to parts of it. So that they set their own course. They go their own direction. They set their own plans. And they counterfeit revival. God's raising up an end time generation that love the word of God. Amen. It's my food. It's my delight. As I said before, my favorite thing is getting the word, getting that don't mess with me zone, getting the presence of God, and just open the word and read and have the word of God fuel me. Amen. So with that being said, let's go to Psalm 119. And I've titled this A Heart for the Word. Oh, that's funny. This is how mathematically messed up I must have been. I wrote down the original psalm of Psalm 105. Which I know is wrong. Amen. Psalm 119. And let's start at verse 1. It's just a good verse. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, just for another fun thing I do with this psalm, is understand we've been set free from the law of commandments. Now we walk in the law of love. It's fun to take this psalm and everywhere you see the word law or commandments or statute, put the word love. And watch how it speaks to you. Amen? Who walk in the law or the love of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that's the word, and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. That's the principles of the kingdom. So here's a people in love with the word, they refuse iniquity, and they learn the principles of the kingdom of God. Now go to verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do you cleanse your way? Well, the first thing you need to know is you need to cleanse your way. Again, this runs contrary to much of the churches believing once saved, always saved, or you can live like you want to live. Here we see David saying, who had a man after God's heart, I've got to cleanse my way. There's got to be adjustments made in my life. And he says, I adjust according to the word. The word becomes your compass to set a heading to live free or above sin. Free and above sin. Amen? The word does that. When you really read the word in first person, when you really have a relationship with God, you cannot read the word and have not have it convict you. I have the word. Now, this is me. No matter where I read, New Testament, Old Testament, Book of Job, Revelation, whatever, the word convicts me at a much higher rate, many times more than I receive revelation. Did you follow me? Now, I revelate all the time out of the word. I don't read, I don't get revelation. But even with all the revelation I get, it's always convicting me in the process, causing me to examine myself. Am I in the faith? Am I following after love? Am I walking in forgiveness? Am I judging or condemning? Are you following me? No matter where you read, there's a convicting power in the word as well. And if you'll let that conviction come within you and have its work, it will cause you to become clean. It'll cause you to cleanse your way. Amen. See, I don't know where I would be in my walk to try to develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life if not for the Word. Why do I'd be out there in la-la land? Because you, apart from the Word, will not be self-examining enough to walk a holy life. Did you follow that? Your own walk, your own personal inner meditations, your own examination of yourself will not be enough to make corrections in your walk to have you walking in the level of purity God wants you to walk in. Only the Word can do that. Amen. And if you'll allow it, the Word will do that. Got to get a hold of every aspect of your thoughts. Verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10 so we can get in the flow. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've hid the word in my heart. You know, the way... the Houdini Christian lives. By that I mean the escape artist Christian. Always looking for the way of escape. Always looking for a shortcut to get out of conviction. The way they live is they read and they hit the convicting parts, they read through it really quick. That's why I slow down the most. Do you follow me on this? When I hit the convicting parts, I'm not going on until I get a release from God. Okay, I've got a hold of this. That's why it takes me a long time to read through the Proverbs. Because every other verse is something that's going wham. It's like, pow, thanks, I needed that. Pow, thanks, I needed that. Because I so want my life to be right with God. I understand I'm in right standing with Him, but I want a pure life before Him. So when I hit the convicting verses, which are all over the place anyway, New and Old Testament, when I hit those convicting verses, I stop and I dwell and I eat that verse and I consume it and I meditate it until that verse gets down in me. Till I examine myself by the mirror of that word and I let that word go down through me and check out every part of my being. I saw a movie, saw it first time on a plane flight, I think to the Marshall Islands, called The Island. Did you guys ever see the movie The Island with Ewan McGregor? That was Castaway. And it was about cloning. And it was about a little bit of a futuristic society and they were cloning people. But they wanted these clones. They didn't know there were clones. And they'd have them swallow this, I don't remember how they took it, in a spoonful or something, of these little, like, BBs. And they were actually sensors that as they went down through the digestive system, they took all these measurements. And then they'd be passed out through the body. And when they're passed out, they'd go into a system, they'd read everything that they picked up, and it's, no, your fat content's too high, your sugar's this and all. Instead of having all these blood tests, they just pass these through, and they do these tests all the time. And those little BB things were little monitors to check out everything going on the inside. And that's what I let the Word do. Amen. I hit a verse that's convicting. Okay, here goes a BB. Check me out. Even if it's not convicting, I'll stop and meditate it because I want it to check me out. Does anybody understand what I'm speaking about? I hit the verse. I say, okay, God, examine me according to this verse. Show me any area that's not in alignment with what you have in this area. Unforgiveness, wrong attitudes. Amen. Check me out. Because I want you by the word to make the adjustments necessary that there's no impurity within me. So the word has the power to give you continual Holy Ghost checkups. But the religious won't even read those passages. Because they don't want to make changes, so they're going to avoid which would force a change. The revivalist says, God, if it's in the Word and I'm not lining up to it, make the shift in me because I know your Word's perfect. I don't want to get to heaven, God, so you kept skipping those pages. Amen. Go to verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's a good confession right there. You know, when I taught algebra, teaching eighth grade pre-algebra for a couple years, the kids came in saying they hated math, so every day I start them out. Every day. I repeat after me, I love math. I love math. All right, I hate math. I understand math. I understand math. I understand that. But I get their words to the best of my ability in alignment with what we wanted. I'm going to try not to pick on Patty with this. I hope I don't get in trouble. We were saved early. She was all the time saying, I don't understand the word. I don't understand the word. I don't get anything out of the word because I don't understand it. I'd say, don't say that. Don't say that. Say, I understand the word. Now she's in the word all the time. You follow me? A shift took place. But we have the ability to say, I delight in the word. Even the parts that step on my toes, I delight in it. Even the parts where God's making a change in me because I want change enough that I'll go under the knife of God's, you know, word scalpel. Where he's cutting improper thought processes out of your life. I will not forget thy word. I might forget a PIN number. I might forget an address. I will not forget thy word. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's the heart of a revivalist. God, open my eyes. When I read the word, I see something. You know what the word of a religious-minded person is? Lord, help me stay awake to get my chapters in so I can feel like I did my duty. Now listen, as a revivalist, there'll be times you'll have to pray to stay awake. I had to today. I mean, today I'm trying to read and just week-old jet lag was trying to hit me, I guess. But I'm telling you, the revivalist is in love with reading the word. And your attitude is, God, let me see you in the word today. Give me revelation of your word today. You know what my most difficult thing when I read the word is? One of the most difficult is being able to quit revelating long enough to get any content in. Because I'll hit a paragraph and this is the mind of a teacher anyway. If you study the book we have on the motivational gifts over in the bookstore, which I think we're out of stock in right now, and it talks about the gift of the teacher. The teacher wants to learn everything about everything. So they'll be reading one article and they'll hit one phrase and they'll talk about some new invention. They got to go look that up and study on that. Then they'll see something and they've got to study on that. Well, in the Word, I start reveling so much on a verse that I'll be looking up this over here and looking up that over there and meditating analogies in my mind, and I'll realize, you know, I've been here 45 minutes. I've read two verses. So it makes it really hard to get through a book and get the whole context. Amen. So sometimes I've just got to turn off Revelation and say I'm reading for content. Do you follow me when I say that? And so I'm going to behold wondrous things out of the Word. Verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Princes, principalities, religious pastors, government officials may speak against you. Amen. But your focus always goes to the Word. I will meditate the Word of God. I can remember that. This has been, my goodness, almost 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago this year that I went to Frankfurt as assistant pastor. 20 years ago, I heard Elizabeth Smithers say, I'm endeavoring to get so full of the Word that the only thing that ever comes out of my mouth is Scripture. Now, that's not going to happen where everything you say is going to be Scripture. Otherwise, how could you communicate? Amen? You'd have to figure out what verse lined up with what you wanted to say. Amen. Well, when are you getting up in the morning? When the cock does throat crow three times. Amen. After the third watch. But what she meant was everything comes out of her mouth aligns with Scripture. And when you meditate Word, a transition takes place within your thinking that as you submit to the Word, now all of a sudden, because the Word becomes the filter that you pass every thought through, only Word-aligned words will come out of your mouth. And as you advance in the Word, and you speak words that don't align with the Word, all of a sudden you'll catch it. You go, wait a minute, wait. It didn't sound right coming out. I'm not a singer. You guys know that. I went to Pastor David Redding one time interested in possibly getting some information on learning to sing, just to sing a little bit. So if I wanted to sing in the Spirit, I didn't sound like a broken, you know, like a frog somebody stepped on. And he had me sing one note, and he says, "Are you tone deaf?" I don't know. It sounded fine to me. I don't know. When it comes out of my mouth, I can't tell how it sounds. But when I hear it on TV, I can hear a wrong note like that. Or from anybody singing, I can hear a note that's off key. Nobody get nervous. Sing it anyway. And Nancy does a lot of music. I'm going to ask Nancy a question. Nancy, have you ever been singing and a note came out of your mouth and it wasn't right on key? Any singer has, right? And you knew it immediately. Why? Because when you heard it, you know, whoops, I missed that note. Amen. I target more hitting one now and then than whether I've missed one or not. I find if I sing in enough different levels, eventually I'm going to hit one. Hallelujah. Patty used to tell me I sang monotone. I said it's safer that way. Amen. When you're a singer and you miss a note, you know it because it didn't sound right coming out of your mouth. When you're full of word and you say a statement that doesn't align with word, you know it because something didn't sound right coming out of your mouth. But that only comes with time and the word. And then you start listening to people in religion, people in the world speaking, and you're going like, none of that sounds right. None of that's in a harmony with the word of God. They're all speaking death and being sick and tired of being sick and tired and defeat. And Pastor Carter gave a testimony yesterday in our pastor's meeting. He's a big motorcyclist. And for years, people kept pulling out in front of him when he's driving a motorcycle. Cars pull right in front of him. And he was always saying, "We ride again." See, he was saying, he gave this testimony yesterday. He was saying, "I was always saying people pull out in front of me." So Pastor Jack one day corrected me and he says, "As long as you keep saying everybody pulls in front of you, they're going to keep pulling in front of you." And he goes, "That's right." So he quit saying that. He says, since the day he quit saying that, not a single person's pulled out in front of him. But you get to the point, you know when it, see, to the religious mind, I don't believe all that. I know that the worst is death and life's in the power of the tongue. And so when you're a revivalist and you say something and it's not aligned with word, you know it as much as a singer when they miss a note. Amen. And then you practice till you get it right. Change that confession. Grab those words and bring them back. The level of word we have in us, the level we allow that word to realign everything within us, is the level that rightly aligned words will come out of our mouth. And the level that rightly aligned life will take place in our circumstances. Did you follow me? Starts with the word. Verse 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Now, the soul cleaving to the dust is not a good confession. Amen. But here he's talking about that when you're down and you feel like you'd have to get better to die, that your circumstance would have to improve to be miserable. You're below miserable. I mean, you're cleaving to the dust. He says, "You can quicken me." That word quicken means to make alive. You can make me alive by the word. I'm telling you, the devil's a master at making you feel like you're cleaving to dust. and your solution is the Word and worship. Always turn to the Word. The world turns to the bottle. The world turns to the cigarette, the illicit cigarette. The world turns to the pill or the needle. Amen. Or to the bars and the illicit relationships. To the internet, illicit websites. The revivalist, no matter what the type or level of pressure, always turns to Word. That's why the road is narrow that leads to life. Because there's so many options you can take that lead to death, but only one path that leads to life. That's the Word. Well, I thought Jesus was the way to life. He is. He's the Word. He was the Word made flesh. And you want to walk in alignment with Jesus? Walk in alignment with the Word of God. I'm not talking about living by the Big Ten. Are you following me? I'm talking about a life that's totally connected to the Word, that you think Scripture. Scripture's replaced your fallen, failure mindsets. Because David said in Psalm 1, everything I put my hand to prospers because I meditate the Word day and night. What haven't renewed your mind that you think in successful terms? Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness, another bad confession. But he's describing his situation and how the Word turns it around. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. There's power in the Word. There's strength there. I mean, you're going through the worst circumstance you can go through. Go read David and Goliath. Go read 2 Corinthians where Paul said, we despaired even of death, but with the answer of death within us. The answer to death, the Word, right? That no matter what circumstances faced Paul, he learned to turn to the Word as a source of deliverance. When I read the Word, and I'm sure you do, when I truly get in the Word and I meditate the Word and I read it, I feel strength coming into my spirit, man. I feel refreshing come into my life. I could have sat down feeling drained, feeling depleted spiritually, but spending time in the Word, it's almost like I'm hooked up to a spiritual IV and fresh energy is flowing into my body. When I was in college, of course, I wasn't saved and didn't have any money, so we sold plasma. My friend and we sold plasma a couple times a week. Go sell that plasma. We got, I think, was it $5 a pint? So 2 pints, we get $10. Was it twice a week or something we could give it? It was all the time we give the plasma. That was our beer money. And they would take that plasma out and then they'd centrifuge the platelets off and put stuff back in or whatever. I don't know how it worked. And you could feel that cold liquid go into your arm, shoot up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You could feel it shoot in. And then we go drink beer and you could feel that beer just flood your system. You go, oh. And I'm telling you, when you feel spiritually depleted, get alone, get with the Word, and you will virtually feel that start to permeate your being to bring spiritual refreshing to you. Amen? And, you know, eat as much as you can. I am really trying to change the way I eat. Not trying to, I have. Since I got back from that Texas trip, I've been off sugar. No sugars in Ghana. It's amazing what you eat when you get hungry. I'd eaten rice for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days and protein bars. That was it. Wasn't drinking Cokes this time or Maltas. So just drinking waters and juice. And I was so hungry for some meat. But yet, a lot of their meats, I don't know if it'd be good for me to eat or not. I can eat anything as far as taste, but some stuff may not be healthy. And the meats I'd had were not what we're used to, so I was just eating rice. And so I went, there was a market across the street. I went to the market for about 4 or 5 days, and they had a can of corned beef. And I found a can of corned beef, not corned beef hash, just corned beef, little tins, and a pack of, they were called tea crackers. I don't know what country they were from, Pakistan or something. Thought I'll eat crackers and corned beef. I took a bite. Well, turns out the crackers taste like animal crackers. They were sweetened. So I was eating corned beef on animal crackers and felt like I had a meal fit for a king. I'm telling you what, I was sucking it down. You know, the cans have, you open those cans, this was cheap hash. I mean, it's cheap stuff. And you had to use the key and open it. It had the kind of has the waxy fat, the grease or whatever. Yeah. Sucked that up to every bit of that. I eat all of it. Hallelujah. And so, I can remember where I was going with all that. The word becomes what you consume for your strength. And you can virtually, eat until you're filled. Yeah, I was talking about the way I've changed me. I have quit overeating. I don't know if I've overeaten more than 1 or 2 meals since November. I eat very small portions now. I don't need to get filled. I just need to get something in me and go on. And trying to lose some weight, but also just eat different. But I'm telling you what, if I go someplace that's really good, I'm eating. You know, if I go someplace, they put a nice big steak in front of me, I'll eat the whole thing. Amen. And when you sit down before the word, eat till you're at least filled, and maybe then some. Versus try to scrimp on the word. I'm telling you what. I heard Joyce Meyer say this years ago. She reads the word until she feels full. Not by time clock, but until she feels filled. And I believe that's a good philosophy. Eat until you're filled. In fact, Rick Renner says he won't eat natural food until he's already ate, until he's filled with the word. He gets up in the morning, before he eats, he gets in the word, and he does not stop in the word until he feels filled with word, and then he goes and eats his breakfast. Because he wants to put the spirit food before the natural. Amen. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it represents a desire for the word of God. My goodness, I'm running out of time. Verse 30. I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I've chosen the right way. I've chosen truth. See, God doesn't make you get in the word. He gives you the option to get in the word. And it requires a choice. Will you make this your lifestyle or not? I want to close with this verse tonight and invite you to fall in love with a diet of the Word of God. Now, we're going to continue this next week. My desire is to get these two lessons done on A Heart for the Word this Thursday, next Thursday, after the advance. We're going to go into a series on the principles of the kingdom of God. 40 principles of the kingdom of God starting out. But before we get into that, I want us to make sure we're in love with the Word. That this is what we live for Word. Amen? So, Father, I thank you we choose your Word. We choose to desire it. We choose to meditate it. We choose to realign our lives with it. That as we realign our lives with it, you can anoint us and take us into your plans and purposes. We thank you, Jesus. You're raising up a people in the end times that are not just playing games. They're becoming spiritually minded and spiritually equipped. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you.